B62. Number 3B.
So, what will be the way we read the textbook in the 7,000 year period? Are we
key?
Yeah, with that which is on the left-hand side of our epitomes. Huh? We leave out the epitomes, the sentence epitomes, and all what we still have is only the epitome in capitalized terms.
In categories.
In categories. Quite right. You see, you were asking this afternoon, you were asking, well, how is it then that we have, say, chapter after chapter that is perhaps laid out in the 7x7? What is the difference? So you have prayer laid out in the 7x7, you have atonement and Eucharist laid out in the 7x7. Why twice? Why not once? Why not make it simple? Why is it so difficult? Now, what is the answer? You have to speak louder, you know. Yeah?
When I asked the question, I forgot there were other categories shown on the page as well as the synonymous.
Yes, exactly. See, just now we can see that this has to do, again, with structure, with transformation. You can have the 7x7. Say in the... in prayer, and say, well, that is a special 7x7, because there is, besides the category of the 7, is the category of the 4, namely word as word. So the word as word determines the quality or the characteristics that are being used in the 7x7. So that in the second chapter, which is the Word as the Christ, the characteristics must be different in the 7x7. You can't say they are the same, because there you have a roof category. And so again you can see that you really can transform the 7x7 16 times here, if you want. It just depends under which accent you put it. But that accent must be on another category. Not on the category of the 7, must be on the category of the 4. So again we can see, you see, that without taking an element from outside as the definition run, without taking an element from outside, the structure can transform itself with the same element that we had before.
Did you say that the point of relationship where they meet determines?
No, I didn't say that. No.
I wondered.
I said that the whole 7x7 matrix of a chapter has another title, so to say, namely word as word. If you take the same thing and put it under another title, Word as Christ, then each one of the 7x7 changes its tone.
Yes.
I think if I would understand more about music, I think you do that in music.
Yes.
That you put it under perhaps another key or something, whatever it is.
Transpose.
You transpose it. You see? The same we do in metaphysics. Divine metaphysics.
But don't you really, I know this is terribly wrong, but I don't quite understand why I see the 7x7 and you say it can change its character by what the root category is.
Exactly.
Without introducing another element into the 7x7. But wouldn't that root category be another influential element that is entering into it.
It is the influential category, but that category of word as well is within the system of science.
Oh, yes.
You see?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what
you
mean.
Yeah. Because a 7x7 can never stand by itself. It doesn't exist.
Right.
It must have somehow a title, huh? Okay. Say, what is it all about?
Huh? Uh-huh. More of a head poncho.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So, if you take another category than the 7, like the 4, huh? 4x4, actually you get a terrific translation, huh? Transformation, huh? Going on. 16 times, so to say, you can't. Naturally, you can even do more. You can even put that under the category of Christian science, or under the category of absolute Christian science.
Uh-huh.
And you get again something different.
Would this be similar to mathematics, say, that where we had numbers of something we were multiplying, and we all assumed it was base 10 because that's what we used. But if you had another little thing out that a roof, say, that said, now this is base 12, that you wouldn't actually be, or would you be changing? Yeah, that would be influencing what you're doing here.
Yes.
Just exactly as it would be influencing in the spiritual science. And also, like you were mentioning about the music.
Yeah. You can, I don't know anything about music, but I think you can change the rhythm, couldn't you? You can take even a classical thing and make a pop music out of it or anything like that. You are very good at that, you know. So actually, you see, it sounds quite different, and yet you can recognize the original. You can recognize the original. It's still true to the original. Yeah? Sorry. Yeah. I have to give others also a chance from time to time. Yes. Can we?
Is there a presumption here in moving from the 6,000 to the 7,000 period, assuming that we've done that we could never read in capitalized terms if we hadn't previously read the book in the other terms? In other words, the content would be so different. Lots of things are written in the word is the word, and yet they say, and even though the elements are the same, the categories are the same there, the message is very different in the prophets than it is in the textbook, than it is in other books. So I'm trying to get a handle on the 7,000-year consciousness is one that has taken in and made their own. All of the others?
No.
No.
No, it's not so. No. You can read prophets with the 7,000 year, with the 6,000 year consciousness, and with the 7,000 year consciousness.
Have you not done the 6,000 year first?
Yes. You have to do it first, the 6,000.
Yeah, that was all my question was.
Oh,
was
yeah. You have to do first the first. Yeah.
It's like the tonality of a synonym that comes to the same mind without knowing.
The ideas of mind now. Yeah. You have to go through that process, you have the biblical text, say, of the prophets. Then you have to take the 4,000 consciousness and to translate biblical symbolism into metaphysical ideas. And you have done that. You have to translate the ideas back into a synonym. And you can epitomize it with a sentence. And only as you do that and go on epitomizing the 7, or the 4x4, you can also check and test if your findings are right, because they must be tonality-wise right. And only then when you know you are right, and then you can ponder it and can think about it, what it means and so on, little by little it sinks in and you have a tone of the 7,000 year period. So that if you have Hosea, you can sit back and just know what Hosea is talking about, you see? Because the very first thing that will determine our consciousness will be the roof category, the Christ, because Hosea is part of the Christ matrix. So the very first thing is that you just hear a principle coming down to you, God coming down to you. You know, you have that sense of the descent of the Christ. Then you can hear that descent of the Christ as Hosea, as the Word. Because the Hosea is Word as Word in the matrix. And state the power of God that comes down. But if you read then afterwards the next one, Obadiah, then you again hear that thing coming down, but you hear in addition to it the word of the Christ that it's going to change something.
Job.
Job. That it's going to change something. So you come to the next one. What is the next one? Christianity, Amos. And you just hear in Amos that it comes down, that idea, and that nothing can escape that. That it will come down and destroy it and destroy what needs to be destroyed. There is no way out of it. And you hear quite a different tone, a more, I would say, a more powerful tone than in Hosea. But that is all a question just of culturing that consciousness. Whereas if you take the epistles, then everything is under the over roof category of the Christianity, and you don't have any more that waterfall coming down. You have really then the relationship between God and man and God. Says, now what is that relationship between God and man? You come to Romans and it says what that relationship is, that only that which is righteousness before God is really a righteousness, and that human righteousness like filthy rags and don't care about it. It's the only righteousness there is the righteousness of God, and that is the righteousness that determines what man is. And at once you come to 1 Corinthians, you hear that other relationship. That suddenly something is going to manifest within you. And so on. But that's very, it's not difficult. It's just a question of staying pure in the categories. That's all. You know, that book on the prophet seems so involved, the book on the epistle seems so involved, but they are not. The moment we can stay pure in tonality in our ear, and our tonality stay pure, it is always the same thing, that it first comes as the word, as a statement of that subject. Then as the Christ which says, I'm going to do something to you. And then as Christianity which says, and you can't escape it. Christianity is always that which says, I destroy the opposite. You see? So, it's always the same rhythm, huh?
The great secret, though, is an enormous amount of culturing of the tonality of the categories, then, isn't it?
Absolutely. You see?
Yeah.
Can you hear me in 73 when you came to us, to South Pasadena, huh? Saying, look here, just culture the tonality of the categories. That's all what you have to do. Culture the tonality of category. Not only of a capitalized term. That's where it starts. But also culture the tonality of the category. First the category of what is word, what is Christ, what is Christianity, what is science. And afterwards, culture that in a finer way. What is the tonality of the word as a word? And the Christ, and Christianity, and science. And it's easy because you know what Christ, Christianity, and science means. Yes?
If you think that we learn other subjects and the work we put into other subjects, like painting, like music, like playing tennis, you can't do that in a day. You can't do that really as a master in a year. But we, funny enough, we put all that time and energy in these other things, which we never put into science. Sorry, which we may not put into science. But think if we put it the right way, instead of these bloody atomistic truths, these damned atomistic truths that just make a fool out of it, out of the student, that they are all over the place with their thoughts, all over the place, running after these gnats. And it doesn't serve a thing. After 30 years, they are at the same place where they were before. Not so if you culture the categories. And you are not at the same place. And another thing. You know, what's the use of a science that does not evolve? Not no good at all. Maybe quite good for a while, and then you get bored of it.
Dissipate.
Yeah. So, how can a science evolve? Deviating, out being diluted, still remaining pure or even purer. How can a science evolve? That's the great question. In the whole field since Mrs. Eddy left, nothing evolved in the way of understanding the textbook science. The articles written in 1910 were 10 times better than now. The articles written in 1910 were all about the textbook and truth. Now it's all about the apostle the manual, and obedience to the manual, and then afterwards the manual. And that's what they teach. It hasn't evolved. Not that you, if you look through these journals, not a single idea has evolved. It's just stating the old thing in new terms. But that's not evolution. That's just saying things with other words. How can it evolve? Naturally, the powers that are say it should not evolve, it should stay as it is. The revelation is final. So don't evolve it. And woe to you if you evolve it. But even if they wouldn't do that, how could they evolve it? Have you ever thought what that is that can evolve it? I tell you what they think wrongly, what it evolves. They think if you study a lot, that it will evolve. Because if you study a lot, then you will know more. Will know more than before. But you don't. You just repeat your enumeration table. But just repeating the enumeration table instead of 1,000 times, 10,000 times, doesn't evolve anything. Still the enumeration table. How do we get the paradigm shift? That's the question. That's the biggest question. And if we cannot see the answer for that, well, the whole thing is finished. Just will fiddle out. Just as the church is filling out. And if we cannot evolve it, we will fiddle out also. There is no way out. There's no hope. Every science, everything that starts anew, be it communism, be it in art, be it pop art, be it whatever it is that comes up, after 10 years it fiddles out. If there is not a science of evolution, how does it evolve? So it does not evolve through quantity, through spiritual quantity. More study, more reading, putting more hours into it. It is not that which evolves. Something very different. What is it that evolves? That which evolves is the categories themselves. A right understanding of the categories, a spiritual, conscious, tone-wise, correct understanding of the categories has within itself the seed of evolution. So that we can never say, and I've seen that over the last 30 years, and it's deadly. It's deadly. We cannot say we can evolve this science by being original, by trying to put all kinds of classification and categories into this system, so that we can bring out something which the other fellow hasn't seen. It does not work. It is not system intrinsic. And I remember John Doyle, he was quite, you know, he could really be like that, huh? He wasn't always that gentle, nice, motherly character. He really could then. Huh? And he said, don't try to be original. He said, you go and study what the categories are. He knew it. He knew that the idea has within itself the seed to evolve according to the divine order. And therefore, this idea will and does unfold when we stay with the categories and stay pure with the categories. Can you see a difference of what we teach today and what was the teaching when John Doyle left us? Within 34 years. So quite a different proposition. So the idea did unfold. Why did it unfold? Only because we stay pure with the categories. And really could see that we are not halting, that we are not get stuck, huh?
Stagnating
by just falling in love with what we already have seen and repeating that and repeating that. Or I could say it differently, by being not open for a new idea to unfold. So it did unfold. But we have to see that more students get that ability, you know, really to be transparent for the unfolding idea. Ed.
We can't have a structure without lineal thinking. A proper kind of a structure.
Well, lineal thinking is not structure. But linear thinking is the beginning of a structure. A linear thinking is like this. Our structure is multidimensional. It is this way, it is this way, it is this way, it is this way. It's multidimensional. But it did start with the linear thinking, with the days of creation.
Keep it all on the same line.
It's all on the same line. Huh? It's it's only an evolution on the same line. But it wasn't, you see, that's order, huh? And linear thinking. That structure is multidimensional. And to break out of that is quite a job. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, golly.
So golly, it's only 8:25.
Yes, yes. Well, we still have tomorrow, huh? Yes, you wanted to ask something.
For those of us not familiar with all the history, what's the difference? I know there is a difference. You said the difference between Dorley, when Dorley left, and what has unfolded now.
Yes.
You said there's a difference.
There is a great difference because it's an unfoldment of what he was laying really the groundwork.
But what is the specific difference?
Well, for instance, he never did see more than one matrix. His matrix, what we call the Dorley matrix.
It's called the matrix, but they're
the matrix. Yeah. But now we see that there are matrices, that every subject actually, if it should be seen in its bigness, should be seen matrix-wise. Dorley saw, with the synonymous terms, he saw the Genesis order, the days of creation order, and the numerals of infinity. We teach the synonymous terms now dimensionally, like Sue in her class. Huh? It's those categories. That was unknown to John Dorley at that time. We teach the synonyms as matrices as we have them in the new book on the seven synonymous term at the end, where we can teach mind as a matrix of mind and spirit as a matrix of spirit. This was unknown. We teach structure. He didn't teach structure. We teach interpretation. He didn't teach interpretation. See? We were seeing the cybernetic aspect of it. He didn't. He only touched slightly on the chart. But actually the unfoldment of it came later. He didn't teach laws. We teach laws. We teach the laws of the chart, we teach the laws of the prophets, the laws of the epistles. We teach the laws of being. We teach the laws of interdependence. He already saw the law of interdependence, that he saw, but he never taught it. So the whole question of law is new. What else did we have? Huh? He did the epitome. He was really showing that method of epitomizing.
Did he do it, though, for the whole textbook?
Not for the textbook, no, but for the Bible. But the main thing is to give the method and afterwards to do it for other books is child's play compared with the terrific thing to think about such a method. Huh?
Yes.
He did
it in Christian Science Practice.
Yeah, he did various chapters like Christian Science Practice, and privately he did also one or the other chapter in the textbook, like Prayer and the Atonement and Eucharist and the first part of Science of Being, he did that. And Recapitulation, see. Yeah. So there is quite a bit more than what 1950 was here. Huh? Yeah. Yes?
I'm going back just a moment on these...
I don't know. I won't be able to answer that with authority. The only thing is that in the 4,000-year period, the question of individual salvation came up for the first time with Jeremiah. He was the very first time, but it was...
They were told to do only.
Yeah, it was actually so that in the older, in that age, the belief was that the whole tribe always had to be saved, that not the individual. That, and you have also in churches, you have incidents
it was said that because one of a tribe had sinned, the whole tribe was punished. And apparently that was, when we read cultural history, apparently this was so that it was always a collective responsibility and never an individual. And so with Jesus, he came for the first and said, there is an individual salvation, I make it myself.
And when he did that, immediately he was in trouble with the authorities.
Yeah.
Where today, going into the seventh period, is the period in which individual unfoldment is welcomed.